Welcome to Exercising Your Faith, where we build wisdom in people's lives so they can move forward with purpose in God's plan. Whether your struggle is personal, professional, or spiritual, we look to provide the guidance necessary to reconnect you with your faith and propel you on a path of strength in mind, body, and spirit. It's time to exercise your patience, endurance, and faith with your hosts, Dave and James.
Good morning and welcome to another episode of the EYF Podcast, EYFpodcast.com with David and James. And remember, we're here to exercise our faith. So good morning, James. How are you today, sir?
Good morning. Doing well. This is a very time-appropriate interview.
Yeah, it sure is, because we're talking about kids today, and we're also talking about parents, and we're talking about kind of that relationship between the two. And unfortunately, there's not a lot of experts out there. So when you do find one, it's so important to grab a hold of them and see if you can coerce them to share a little bit about their expertise and how we can bring these resources to parents and kids. Because as you know, the word that's getting into the family from the outside is not always what it is we want. And one of the things that James and I were talking about just briefly before this is if you go back 20, 30, 40 years ago, there was only one phone line into the house. And so there was only one source of information that came in and out via the phone, and usually families had one TV. And nowadays, everything is different. And so we want to introduce today to you David Eaton. And David is kind of the brains behind Axis.org. And what Axis.org does, and I'm going to give David an opportunity to explain it a little bit better, is give resources to parents to kind of bridge the gap between today's culture and today's parent and today's kid. And so, David, welcome to the EYF Podcast, sir.
Thanks for having me on, James and Dave.
You got it, brother. So, you know, tell us a little bit about Axis and your story and how this whole thing came about.
Yeah, let me tell you the best story that we have oriented our entire ministry around as we think about being a parent's research assistant.
Cool.
So, I mean, you know, as you mentioned earlier, Axis asks, what Axis does your family revolve around? And then our goal is to help you, it's really to be your research assistant to understand what's going on with TikTok and why it's being shut down in 40 days and what's going on with, you know, Lil Nas X and Billie Eilish. But the point is, you said it awesome, that giant culture gap that keeps getting wider, especially because of the smartphone. Because of that, we had a young lady say to us, she said, David, I've only had one real conversation with my dad. And, you know, when she said that, I was like, what? How can you only have one real conversation with your dad? That's a heartbreaking loss. There's going to be so much that's lost in translation. And yet you're going to have, like, what, 1,000 conversations a week on your phone?
Right.
So how can you only have one real conversation with your dad? And, you know, her dad is, I mean, to make matters, like, you know, more dramatic, is that her dad is a professional Christian, right? Her dad was a Christian university president for 20 years. And her dad was also, he's also on our board. And he's an awesome guy, one of my heroes. So when I heard this, I was like, oh man, I must have totally missed something. Mm. But then his daughter smiled. And I'm like, why is she smiling right now? And she said it again. She says, I've only had one real conversation with my dad. And we've never stopped having that one conversation. So this young lady is saying that not was there a heartbreaking loss, there was an amazing win that was happening here, that she had had a consistent conversation, a continuous conversation, an unstoppable, never-stopping conversation with her dad that probably, it definitely started before she knew language, before she understood words. And so at Axis, we've realized that, hey, there is no one more leveraged, more influential, more awesome in the life of the rising generation than their parents, closely followed by their grandparents. And for us, we're all about helping parents have that 60-year conversation, that one conversation, that continuous conversation that lasts a lifetime, and grandparents have that 30-year conversation. And look, you know, I travel and I speak at schools, right? So I can have a 2-day conversation with your kids, or people can listen to this podcast and they'll have an ongoing conversation. Or, you know, you guys are, you're teachers at school. So you're going to have a multi-year conversation with kids, and that's great. Like, we want great coaches out there. We want great youth pastors out there. We want great English teachers out there that also help influence our kids on that kind of secondary front. But there is no one who's going to be there like a parent's going to be there. Whether your kid's the next president or prime minister or in prison, like, you are going to be there praying for them in their corner. And Access exists with that in mind. How do we make that relationship as awesome as possible, especially from the years of 8 to 18?
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the resources, you know, that Access does? So let's just say I'm a parent. Well, I am. I've got a 28-year-old and a 23-year-old. So even though they're my kids, they're adults now. But how do I bridge the gap? In other words, I go to Access. What's gonna change?
Right. No. What parents have told us have changed for them is their confidence has massively increased. So where in the past they always felt behind. So as one dad said, he says, I always feel 3 apps behind my kids. Or as a mom said, she says, whenever I come across something that freaks me out in culture, I either become silent or I become violent and start yelling at my kid or snatch their smartphone away or whatever. So I would say this. So we just wrote a book, the two co-founders at Access, so the other, Jeremiah and I, and it's called Engaging Your Teen's World. It's an awesome book, comes out on August 18th. And, you can go to AXIS.org/radio. And there's a link to take you straight to Amazon to get it at the best price you can find it. And then also at access.org/radio, we have a couple of our free resources.
Cool.
But, I think that's a great starting point. But what makes Access unique is that we have 24 staff who wake up every single morning thinking about parents and their teenagers or their tweens or their college students and how to help you connect with them. So we also have, with the purchase of the book, you get 3 months of our All Access Pass membership. Mm-hmm. And what this is a lot of micro resources that will help you have one great conversation with your kid every single week. So for example, I'm older at Access, right? And I'm a little bit removed from culture because I'm doing other things like trying to get this book out and et cetera. And so we have a resource called the Culture Translator. And it's an email that comes out every Friday and says, here are 3 things that are happening in your kid's world. Well, I just found out recently that Lil Nas X dropped a track on Twitter for 38 seconds about his new song that's coming out. And if you don't know who Lil Nas X is, it's really hard to have a conversation with your kid about this guy. But this is the number one artist of 2019. His song broke records, the top song for number one, Old Town Road. It was, he's an African-American who's gay, and this song is kind of country. And it was modeled off of Red Dead Redemption 2, which is a video game. And then it was breaking all these records. He didn't think it would at all. And then all of a sudden, the country music community said, this is not a country song. This is a rap song. It shouldn't be on the country charts. And so he got rejected by that. But then all of a sudden, Billy Ray Cyrus rose from the ashes and said, no, I'm going to do a remix with this guy. So they do a remix. He totally validates that it is a country music song. And so it starts crushing. And on that level, they had a verse to it. And so, all of a sudden you have conversations about LGBTQ. You have a conversation about country versus rap, African-American racism, it was a video game. It's all wrapped together around a song that was breaking records for 19 weeks, which is, no one's ever done that before. It's just so those are all the cultural artifacts that blend together in this. And then he has this new song that he's dropping on Twitter because that's his social media of choice, and it's called Call Me By Your Name, which is referring to a 2017 LGBTQ film and about a young man who falls in love with his father's research assistant. And then, it has a Latin feel to it. And so the big conversation right now is come on, man, you got to add Camila Cabello to this thing. You have to add someone featured that. So all of a sudden you are just breaking genres in so many ways. And guess what? It all happens with a pocket rectangle. And it's right there. It's this phone, and that's the way it's delivered. And, there's always been a culture gap, and that's fine, and that's great. And, we need the rising generation to solve problems in new ways and invent new solutions to things. And we celebrate them. And, man, I am monologuing right now. Can you tell this? But the last thing I'll say is, that's just a lot of things. Right? Yeah. That blew my mind. That's why, it's all of those factors that are coming together. And yet, if you read the Culture Translator every other week, you're an Access member, you'll know who Lil Nas X is. You know, you'll be able to join the conversation that culture's already having with your kids. You'll be able to redirect it. You'll be able to deepen it. You'll be able to live in a world that instead of being violent or silent, you'll be confident. And that's what we believe is the third way. The first way is you just freak out. The second way is you give up being silent. The third way is that confidence, which we call engaging. So engaging and entering into your kids' world.
Right. And that's powerful, right?
Monologue's over.
Yeah. That's powerful for the parent, right? Because they've got the information, and so they don't feel clueless going in. And then the kid sees that they have, you know, some sense of, you know, a common ground, and now they can open up the conversation. You can start talking about it. So I think that's important.
Yeah, I don't know who Little Knock is, or
Little somebody.
Yeah.
Little Knock X.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Well, it's like it's the dad who's like, who's Billy Irish? Yeah. And the daughter's like, you mean Billy Eilish?
Yeah.
Not a boy. She's a girl. She might be 19 now. I don't know. But she was, you know, and she was coming out with, well, she broke records last year. At the Grammys. And again, it's that, you know, your kid just kind of rolling their eyes at you and just being like, Mom, you don't know what you're talking about, or Dad, what's going on. Mm-hmm. To them saying, how do you know these things? And then you have a choice to say, well, you know, you say, well, I looked at this resource called Access because I want to know more about your world. Or you just say, I just love you. You know, and I'm here for you, and I'm trying to figure things out, and I'm looking at different resources. You don't have to say what Access is. But the shocker is that you would think that your kids would be like, why are you spying on me? And I think if the tone is wrong, it will feel like spying. But if the tone is right, it says, no, I love you, I care about you, and I realize the world you grew up in is different than the world I grew up in. And so I want to help be your chief advocate. I want to help be your top support in this time.
Yeah, that's because we were talking earlier, just the idea of the content from the world coming into the house now is so broad and so vast that, because I can remember if I wanted to talk to somebody on the phone when I was a kid, you know, everybody heard my conversation because there was only one phone in the house. And so I couldn't run and hide. And I remember I finally convinced my mom to get the super long 48-foot, you know, stretchy cord so I could go around the corner and, you know, talk to whomever I want to talk to with some semblance of privacy. But really, they knew what everything was coming in. And now that isn't there anymore. And so do you see the modern day cell phone? I mean, if you're just going to give a blanket answer, do you see it as a curse or as a blessing?
Yeah. So it's funny. The answer is both. And that's a deep theological point I was wrong on for a long time, because when we first started looking at different cultural artifacts and the smartphone, it's easy just to say, man, this thing is evil. Look at sexting and pornography and how it's dividing the family and this fight thing, and all these new ideas are coming to kids normally when they would, you know, ideas that they would get when they're, you know, 22 years old are coming at to them when they're 12 years old and et cetera. But if you look at Genesis, God creates the world. And when he creates the world, how does he create it? He creates it very good. Good, 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 very good. And part of that, you know, just that recurring theme of this world being good is that it's full of latent energy. It's full of possibility. And here you have humanity that is, you know, they're called to co-sign checks with God. They're called to be fruitful, multiply, fill, subdue, have dominion over this world. So God creates the world with raw materials, but doesn't create the world with a tree in the Garden of Eden that has iPhones hanging from it. And so that has to be discovered. That has to be, and it takes years, so many years. And it has to, you know, cultures and different people working together. So I think the starting point, especially as the parents are listening to this, it is so easy to start off just dismissing everything and being like, TikTok is terrible. Why would you ever do that? Instead of starting off and celebrating what's good about it, and say, let's see what's good about TikTok. Is there anything good about this? There are a few things in this world that are unredeemable, okay? But there are a lot of things in this world that can be appreciated the right way. But then also in the story, then comes the curse. So that's when things start to break down. And then later in the history is when Jesus shows up. You know, where Israel fails, Jesus succeeds, and he brings this ministry of reconciliation. Okay. And so the conversation I have with the family is, how is something very good? Then how is something cursed? And then how can we redeem it as a family? Mm-hmm. So how is the smartphone good? Let's do this together. So why don't you guys tell me, how do you think the smartphone's good?
It allows us to connect. I mean, we're talking right now, you know, to you. You're over there in Colorado, and we're over here in California. And so we're using this to share God's word.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then how many continents are people listening to your podcast on?
Six continents now.
Yeah, that's insane. Yeah. That's amazing. And it's because, you know, I'm under quarantine right now in Colorado, working from my guest bedroom, you know, remotely from access. You fellas over there in California, and we're able to do that. That's something that is amazing.
Right.
That is amazing. So, but then, you know, like, now tell me, what do you hate about your phone? What are some things about it that you just hate, that you don't like, that you think are really cursed?
Well, I guess it's tracking my every move, I guess.
Yeah, you know, there is that whole...
anticipating my next.
Yeah. So. Yeah, just go anywhere. Well, actually, when you used to go to the mall, evidently now you can, I understand you can, when you're in the mall, you open up your phone and you go to Google and it'll give you shopping points, if you will. So, I mean, it's a nutty deal. It's a tether and it's a noose at the same time.
Wow. Yeah. Well, my word, there it is. So it's addictive. We're always available. They know too much about us. You know, there's so many things that you can, there, you know, pornography, sexting, all those monsters, right?
Right.
So very good, curse. And then how do we redeem it? And one of the ways we redeem it is this. I mean, this podcast is a great way to talk about God's word, you know, worldwide. And that's the situation we find ourselves in. So when you have a kid and you're ready and they're begging you for Snapchat, they're begging you for TikTok, and TikTok's going to be gone, but don't worry, you know, Snapchat has Reels. Instagram is coming out with their copycat. There's another one called Triller. I mean, all these things I know because our staff is keeping our nose to the ground, so to speak, and we have, you know, 24 of us waking up every morning. So again, the Culture Translator is a huge resource. If you go to access.org/radio, that's where a link to engage in your teen world is, and also that's where you can sign up for the Culture Translator. And so that's the conversation that I'd have. And even the book, we have a whole chapter on smartphones. We have a whole chapter on video games. We have a whole chapter on drugs, and so those are depressants and stimulants. We have a whole chapter on mental health. We have a whole chapter, you know, covering these different tough topics. Again, you got to engage and empathize and understand their world. And the smartphone is the thing that has caused the generational gap to get wider than it's ever been before. And like you said, you can't. So there's maybe in the past when we had those long, stretchy telephone cords, right? And I'll tell you, the reason that parents get their kids' smartphones so young is because they don't have landlines anymore.
Right.
And also, we get a new phone. So let's say, you know, it's been 3 years and, you know, you get a new phone. What do? You give your old phone to your kids. And you're like, because I want to know where you are after a soccer practice. Or I want to know when band practice got out 15 minutes early. You know, I want to be there. I got to pick you up, those kind of things. I got to chauffeur you around. Those are the reasons that happens. And so with the smartphone, it has just stretched that gap out. But then there's also the opportunity that's never been there before as well.
All right.
So, David, I got a question for you as a parent, because I've got two teenage daughters. Does Access promote any types of monitoring apps or anything of that nature where you can kind of keep an eye on what your kids are doing and maybe deny access to certain things?
Yeah. So here's, I would say the number one thing that our resources do, and this is what parents tell us time and time again, is they build trust. Mm-hmm. And so if you are implementing, you know, some of these security softwares or, you know, spyware or et cetera, you have to say, can I do this in a way that builds trust? Because there is no kid that can't outsmart their parents. I don't care if you're an IT professional.
Yeah.
Like, and it's the same thing for us as well. Like, if someone puts an artificial boundary or a wall on us, or maybe it's even good, if we want to get around that wall, we will dig underneath it. We'll climb over it. We'll go around it. We'll blow a hole through the middle of it. Like, that's what I would do. Right. So I won't speak for the two of you, but both of those things are things that I would do. And so I think you have to bring that. So yes, I'm going to give you some very clear resources very soon. Be excited about that. But I would say, if you're using it from a place that is causing an adversarial relationship with your kid, they will outsmart you and it will defeat the purpose.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Just to give you so they're not the only, your family's not the only family with old phones. There's a whole burner phone market out there, and they'll get a phone from someone else. They can manage their snap streaks from another kid's phone if you take the phone away. They just log into it. They can buy their own, or they can just whisper under their breath, I can't wait till I'm 18 and do everything differently. And so I'll tell you one more story that's a big failure story of mine. And then I'll tell you the recommended resources for kind of building that trust with your kid. So I'm a part-time youth pastor, and there's a family in my church that the mom and the daughter were just fighting World War III over the phone. So, like, you know, this is what I do. This is the team that I lead. You know, I've studied this. I know the stuff. And so I was like, and both of these people, the mom likes me, the daughter likes me, you know, the brother likes me. You know, like, I was like, this is going to be a great, great conversation. Everyone will just be rational, and we'll all decide on the right thing at the end of this. Absolutely not. I show up. They won't even look at each other. They're crying. You know, the brother's like, you don't even understand how crazy my mom is. And I was like, oh my word. And I try to just kind of get some, you know, thought process around this. It blew up. I ended up walking on the steps of their house back to my car. And the 16-year-old daughter said to me, she said, David, the stricter the parent, the sneakier the child.
Hey, there you go.
There, I mean, I was like, okay, that just about sums up what just happened. And so I just kept rolling that quote around. And guess what? The moral of the story is this young lady ended up getting two iPhones, one for her mom's house and one for her dad's house. Because her parents were divorced. Her parents were triangulating their kids and trying to control each other by showing, like, I am the more relaxed dad, or I am the, you know, I care for our kids the most, so I'm the tighter mom. And so I actually, the trick to the parent, the stinky the child, was like an amazing one-liner. And so I started just taking that to my friends at dinner parties and say, how would you respond to this kind of question? And we had a Grandpa Bob actually solve the riddle for me. He said back to me, he said, Dave, the trick to the parent, the stinky the child, he says, you have to ask yourself, are you raising a sin concealer or are you raising a sin confessor? And I was like, oh my word, you just answered a question with a question. You are winning right now. Then you totally got the heart of the issue. And the heart of the issue was, do you trust each other? Can your child tell you anything?
Yeah.
And because the phone has turned into an adversary instead of turning into something that brings the family together, and because this mom is ignorant about it, so she's fearful, and because the kid is ignorant about it and doesn't know the dangers that are with it, it's just causing like this, you know, this trenched warfare. So, okay. So here's the super practical stuff. Axis has a book called Smartphone Sanity. It's like, we have a chapter about the smartphone in Engaging Your Teen's World. I took the chapter from Engaging Your Teen's World and made a whole book out of it. Now, the number one thing a parent can do is create a family contract, family agreement, family covenant, family something. It's a work in progress. It's official, but it's not official.
It's a living
document.
And this
just gets everyone. It's a living document. It gets everybody on the same page about it, all the scary stuff that, you know, we're afraid of for our kids, but it also gets us on the same page realizing this is a way that, I mean, just imagine what it would feel like to have half the conversations you just be left out of, half of the inside jokes be left out on, half of everything, because half of their life is being lived on this thing, for better or for worse. So there's got to be kind of a new normal that's made with that. And then when it comes to, and then I think, look, you got to treat it like driver's ed. And so driver's ed, you would never give your 16-year-old the keys to the car without proper training, without passing a test or two, without you watching them do it. So the nice thing is that when you get your kid a phone, if it's an Android, there's this thing called Google Family Link, and you can, it gives you like totalitarian control over your kid's phone. If you get them an iPhone, there's an app called Screen Time that is built in. It's free. It's from Apple that gives you that control as well. So you can turn off the App Store. You can turn off browsers. And I recommend that. Like your kid's first phone, no browser, no App Store, no texting. You know, like you got to kind of incrementally move into this as they build trust. And then there's two other resources that are paid. So once you kind of set that up and gradually release control, one is called Covenant Eyes. And this is great. You know, there's like a reason there are windows in nurseries. And it's because at churches, because there are weirdos in this world who are just super broken. And it's good to be seen being seen. And especially if you're dropping your kid off in the care of, you know, maybe someone you really trust, but maybe there's a new volunteer in there. And how are you supposed to think about this? And you're just trying to go to church and worship, right? And you love the kids program. But it's good for there to be that accountability. So Covenant Eyes will show you what your kid's looking at and report back. And it really does. And again, you want them to know what it's like to choose to be under authority. Because they're going to be under authority, and you want them to know what it's like to choose someday to have a community and have friends who help protect them and help kind of be that safeguard for them. So I would say that's like, and so Covenant Eyes like really good on like desktops and laptops, but it's actually really strong on iPhones right now. And again, you can put that on, make them pay for it. And the other one is called Bark.us, and Bark will actually, where Covenant Eyes just kind of sees everything and is more around sexual accountability with all the sexual pitfalls that are out there with images. Bark is really strong in social media apps. So it will read what your kids are writing or doing or seeing or saying or hearing. And then it won't tell you a giant list of all those things. It'll just report back on high-risk behavior. So those are but again, if your kid thinks you don't love them, if your kid thinks that you're just trying to like steal all their fun and don't understand the big gospel perspective on this, they'll just be like, okay, I gotta find another way. Because my parents just don't get it, so I'm gonna figure out another path around this.
Okay, so
there you go.
Talking about I mean, it's a lot of good stuff, and so I'm thinking here, you know, part of my understanding of Axis was formed because kids graduate from high school and they graduate from Christianity on or around the same time. And it's a problem with the church is that, you know, it's supposed to be about our youth, right? We're supposed to be about preparing the next generation that's coming up. But we don't seem to be doing a really good job of it if so many of our kids who go to youth group and do all these things, go to college and leave the church. So it seems like I want your perspective because you're a youth pastor. Is the most important pastor at the church the youth pastor? Is the most important program at the church the youth program more so than what is there for adults? Because if so many of our kids are, quote unquote, becoming Christians between the ages of, I don't know, 5 and 15, but walking away at 18 to 22, it seems like maybe our focus is on the wrong place. What do you think?
Yeah. The most important pastor to church is the parent.
Okay.
Or the grandchild. That's my perspective. And I'll tell you that there are some denominations who really do kids and youth well. But there are so many pressures. When you look at who's the most important pastor at the church, so it's the lead pastor. Like, they make the most money, they have the most responsibility, they have the most pressure. And I will say, from our experience with working with amazing churches, a lot of these pastors love the rising generation. it just is like the 11th priority on their list. And like, you know, there's right now there's COVID and there's government laws and there's online church and then there's fatigue from online church. And then there's someone who's dying and there's someone who's getting a divorce and there's someone who gave $50,000 to the church last year, who's not giving it to this year. And then there's like a sermon every single week. Then there's like managing staff and now there's managing staff remotely and there's hiring and there's firing and there's, I mean, it just, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, that youth thing.
Right.
Yeah. Like none of our seniors are coming to our church right now. Can I just outsource that? So like, okay, well, we'll just hire to a youth pastor. And yeah, there is no precedent for a youth pastor in the Bible. And, but you know, like it's, and there's also no precedent for teenagers in world history, except for, you know, a few hundred years ago. And, you know, that used to go from kid to, you know, from boy to man, not boy to teenager to man. And so there's just all of those things like, well, let's just hire someone. Let's hire someone who's cool. Let's hire a 24-year-old. Okay. They'll take care of it. And you hire these amazing youth pastors who are super high touch and super intentional. And every now and then you get one with the gift of administration, but a lot of times it's like, no, they're just face-to-face discipling these kids. But then it's all of a sudden like, Jesus discipled 12 people, but he's discipled like three in the inner circle. And like, but this youth pastor is supposed to disciple like 48 kids who go to like seven different school districts. And I'm monologuing again. See, this is why I said, guys, give me a cup of coffee before we start this conversation. So it's one of those things where I would say churches definitely care about the rising generation. It's hard. Yeah. And when a youth pastor gets maybe, I mean, look, I'm a youth pastor. A third of the kids come every single week. Another third of the kids come every other week. Another third of the kids come once a month. I have them for 45 minutes a week, which, and you know, they come in late from the previous service. Some of them are in choir and so they leave for the following service. So I'm really getting like 35 minutes and we do one activity a week. So and I'm bitch to say that I'm normal. I'm telling you, it is really hard to teach when someone comes to class once a month or twice a month or somebody who comes every single month to try to figure out, or every single week to figure out all that stuff. So again, I think the strategy has to be realized who loves this kid the most, who gets, you know, 2,000 hours a year with this kid instead of 40 hours a year. Who's the one who's going to spend $250,000 just on basic food and shelter from the ages of 0 to 17. All the answers are parents. And so that parent, and this is the Deuteronomy 6 thing, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise, when you sit, you know, all that stuff, is teach your kids about me, about God. Mm-hmm. Teach them my ways. Teach them the Shema, love God, you know, like love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right there, boom, and then right after it, teach it to your kids. And right. Not just like 1 hour on a Sunday. It's just the normal rhythm of life. It's when it's when you're in the drive-thru. It's right. When you're late to school. It's when you're going to volleyball practice. It's when they failed a test. It's when they got rejected by that cute girl. And now all of a sudden they wonder if life is worth living, you know, cause like no one loves them anymore. It's when they come across a hard passage in scripture and they're like, this is really weird. Why is there racism in the Bible? Or, you know, why is there genocide? Or, you know, what was Moses doing in this situation? You know, it's bringing it back to the lens of Jesus, and it's having that one conversation that lasts a lifetime, realizing you don't have to get it right every single time or have an instant answer, that there's a team out there for you, which is Access. There's a team out there for you, which is Exercise Your Faith. Like, you guys are there too. We're all part of this journey. And yeah, and I'll just say that's the hard thing for the church is like, and guess what? Kids don't pay. They don't. Like,
yeah.
And so, like, they don't tithe, they don't give, and if you're facing financial questions or challenges, you're going to be thinking about revenue sources, you know, and also they don't attract parents to churches as much. Now, little kids do, an amazing little kid service, man, they will bring families in.
Right.
So you get this kind of situation, and then they listen to Lil Nas X, and they're on TikTok, and they have their phone all the time. And like, what's wrong with them? What's wrong with Gen Z? They're just not as good as we were, you know, as baby boomers when we were in high school. We had jobs. You know, why are they not getting a driver's license when they turn 16? You know, I was working. I was driving when I was 14 and a half and on the farm. Like,
get off lazy. My lawn.
Yeah.
Seriously.
And in reality, the boomers and the Gen Xers and the millennials, you know, we have a lot of wisdom. And Gen Z has a lot of wonder. And they need our wisdom and we need their wonder. And there's something that every, and they don't have a junior horse spirit. And so we need them to ask the hard questions. We need them to dream great dreams and help find solutions to problems that we can't find answers to. Mm-hmm. So that's my church response. But I have so much empathy for senior pastors. I will tell you though, another thing, and this is just a dirty little secret, is that, and this sounds terrible, but this is true for everyone listening to this because you love your kids in a primal way. When the lead senior pastor person, when they have a teenager in their home, they will definitely start investing more in the youth of the church. But, and when they have a little kid, the little kid program will be really strong because they'll be allocating resources because they're going to be thinking about that.
Right.
Because they're self-interested, just like we all are. We love our kids. I love my kids more than I love your kids. Right. It's just how it is. So there's so you'll see churches that are innovating and doing great things in this area, especially when their own kid comes home and says, Dad, I don't want to go to youth group anymore. Right. Dad, I want to go to another church. Dad, I don't want to go to church anymore. And then Dad will say, oh, I'm going to call this youth pastor and see what's going on in youth group.
It's his fault.
They're like, you know, like, hey, you guys need to get better vaping flavors in youth group. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah.
So my kid wants to go.
So my kid wants
to
go.
Some more video games.
Yeah, you need to do something. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, David, you've given us
a lot. Guess
what
they're saying now? They'll start saying, like, okay, well, we need to change the program model with this thing. Like, it used to work just to have a youth pastor preach and to play video games and foosball and stuff like that. You know, our kids are starving for community. They're starving for relationship now. Like, they want to deeply connect. They want to have their real questions dealt with and thought through. Right. Okay, so let's create something that honors. You know what? They're bored. They've been in church their whole life. Well, let's start give them some leadership opportunities in the youth group and that church at large. Let's give them some chances to fail. Okay, what's your next thought? What's next question?
Well, I was just going to say, you've given us a lot of great information, and obviously there's great resources out there for our parents. As we bring this show in for a landing here, any last thoughts that you, any, you know, nuggets that you can share with our parents or our listeners as we just wrap up and you know, you encompass you and Axis, can you share that as we finish up?
Yeah. I just want the people who are listening right now to know that you are the hero. And you have what it takes. There is no one more amazing, more influential, more incredible in the life of the rising generation than you. And God has put your kids and your grandkids in your life to disciple them, to listen to them, to have really heartbreaking conversations with them, to teach them to not conceal, but to teach them how to confess, because you're living a confessional life, confessing your sins to them appropriately and others. And I want you to know, if it feels like you're always losing, if it feels like you're embarrassed or behind, those feelings are real, but you still have the most influence. And I want you to know that Axis is here for you. We are in your corner. We think about you every single day. We pray about you every single week. We create resources for you every single month because we believe in the power of parents. So, and you know what? It's going to be hard. And it's totally normal for it to feel hard. And I would just say, please, please don't outsource your parenting to a youth pastor. Yeah. Please don't outsource your parenting to a great coach. But allow Axis to resource you to face-to-face disciple your kid and to have that one conversation that lasts a lifetime.
That's good.
And amen. If there's a kid in your life that doesn't have a parent who cares, or has a parent who really just blew it, or has a parent who has a so many of their own problems that they can't be there. They can't contain the challenges that kid's facing. Don't be afraid to invite them over to your home. Make the best snacks in the world. To have the safest home in the neighborhood where kids are drawn, where you listen to them, where you can adopt them as a spiritual father or mother, because their own father or mother is just not quite able to do it this time, and you can support them. And again, Axis is a book that will help. It's called Engaging Your Teen's World. The price is right. It's on Amazon. Go to axis.org/radio. And then we have this thing called the All Axis Pass, which the culture translators are part of that, our parent guides, our expert interviews, our conversation kit videos on race and video games and gender are part of it. They will help you win. But again, you are that greatest force in your kid's life, and you have what it takes, and you can do it. And all three of us, the double Daves and James, we believe in you.
Yeah. Outstanding. Yeah. And that's the thing, you know, I mean, you talk about the book, you know, it'll probably take, you know, 2 to 3 days to read, but a lifetime full of stuff to, you know, to source through, and the amount of money that we spend on other things. Yeah. Come on, you got to invest a little bit of yourself. Like you say, you can't leave it up to everybody else to raise your kids. Yeah. And then don't get mad when it doesn't work. It's like not voting and then getting mad at who got elected. And oftentimes that's how parenting is done today. And so we all need to sit back and realize that we can do a better job and then join hands together, become yoked to move forward as a team. And so, David, we thank you so much for this. And we're going to go ahead and link everything there, obviously, in our show notes for our listeners and stuff. And so we encourage everybody to reach out. I mean, that's how we got to know about Axis, because we reached out, and we encourage everybody else to do the same thing. And so, David, we thank you. We will pray for you. We will pray for your organization, your 24 folks that are working every day to help everybody out. And we will pray for their protection and their safety. So thank you, sir, for coming on. We sure appreciate
it. Yeah, thanks for having me.
You got it. And as always, listeners, we like to say, you know, take advantage of these links, re-listen to this again, again and again, because there's so many different things that came out. If you didn't have a pen or a pencil with you when you were sitting here listening, you know, go back, re-listen again. And so, like we always like to say, we hope that you have a great day, and God bless.
We appreciate you joining us on this episode of Exercising Your Faith, but your faith workout doesn't stop here. Be sure to head to eyfpodcast.com for more information and resources on today's episode by signing up for our mailing list to receive messages of hope and faith to keep you moving forward with purpose in God's plan. That's available on eyfpodcast.com. Until next time, God bless.